Well, good evening and welcome, friends, to Voices of the Sacred Feminine, whether you're across town or across the globe. I'm Karen Tate, and the music that started the show tonight was Nomad's Land by Zingaya. Well, tonight we sort of have a last-minute change. I invite you to call in and actually talk to me tonight because best-selling author Frank Schaefer, who was scheduled to return to the show tonight, and we were definitely looking forward to that, he's a bit under the weather. So we have rebooked him for August, and that allows an opportunity for me, your hostess, to talk to you, listeners, and maybe offer some personal insights. So I think I'm going to start the ball rolling tonight and talk to you about a number of different things. I'm going to talk to you about our Sacred Sundays programs. The last one we had was about gratitude, and the one coming up this month in August is on harmony. We'll talk about why theology of the sacred feminine can offer us a sustainable future. Why, if you know, goddess were someone who could vote, if goddess were not a deity and an archetype, why goddess would actually, in our two-party system, choose Democrats over Republicans? Controversial, maybe. I don't know. Tune in, listen, call, give your insights. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Isis feast we had on Sunday, which is our annual birthday party for Isis. And we're going to talk about invoking the goddesses Isis, Sekhmet, and Bast for healing. And we're going to talk a little bit about Kabbalah and how it relates to the sacred feminine and the importance of gratitude. And it's also more of an opportunity for me to showcase some music from some of the wonderful artists that support the show. So please, I hope you actually will call in and talk to me tonight. I'm sending the word out on Facebook right now that you know, that I am actually here and chatting without a guest and without a script, so to speak. And I hope you'll take the opportunity to call in and talk to me and, you know, give your ideas and your opinions about some of the things I'm going to say tonight. But before we get to that, first I'd like to make an announcement. If you're in Southern California, in the Hollywood area or the West Side or the San Fernando Valley, in case you don't know, I'm suggesting you save the date. And by the date, I mean the fourth Sunday of every month. Started in July, the fourth Sunday of July, and it's going to go on indefinitely at the Green Man in Hollywood, and I believe the street is Lancashire. We're having Sacred Sundays every fourth Sunday at the Green Man. And the mission statement of Sacred Sundays is there is no one way to embrace, engage, and acknowledge the divine in our daily lives. And we gather on Sacred Sundays to nourish our souls, to come together in community, to uplift our spirits. And we use these moments in time from our busy lives to help that connection with deity manifest to the divine feminine, to the sacred masculine. So please save the date every fourth Sunday of the month. It's a very eclectic service honoring Goddess God, the light. There's singing and sharing and wisdom telling and storytelling. It's a great way to connect with the community and carve out some sacred space for yourself once a month. You know we're going to be there. You can look forward to it and, you know, come show up and, you know, just take a deep breath and detach from everything that's going on out there outside our sacred space. The message of the theme in August is harmony. And if you want more information, you can go to my website at KarenTate.com. Go to the Sacred Sundays page. There's a button for it on the left-hand side of my homepage. And you can find out more. You can see the Sacred Sunday priestesses. I'm one of them. So if you come out and please say hello. All right, so that brings tonight's announcements and comments to a close. And at least for now. Oh, no. Take that back. I do want to say happy birthday. Tonight is a good friend of mine's birthday. Her name is Shakti. Been friends for years, and I saw her name pop up on my calendar that she's having a birthday tonight, so I want to just give her a shout-out. Happy birthday, Shakti. I hope Goddess blesses you in the coming year with abundance, creativity, love, bliss, you know, let her embrace you in her golden wings. And my other good friend, since we were kids in grade school, Marilyn, her birthday is coming up in just a few days. So a shout out to Marilyn, living in Louisiana. So she is not on the West Coast here with me, unfortunately, but you know what? She's one of those friends where every time you pick up the telephone, it doesn't matter whether you haven't talked in a week, a month, or even a year. You just pick up right where you left off because you know, they are true friends forever. So, Marilyn, happy birthday. I hope you manage to pamper yourself this year, and I hope the coming year is a wonderful one for you as well. Well, one of the things I wanted to share with you tonight was the Isis birthday feast we did on Sunday. For those of you who don't know, we probably have been celebrating Isis's birthday for about 10 years. You know, the Isis Ancient Culture Society, which was an organization I founded, started doing it quite some time ago, and we still do it every July because July is the month of Isis's birthday, around mid-month, I think maybe, reaching back into my memory here, roughly the 17th, the 20th, something like that. And, you know, we get together on that day, and we usually have a birthday feast in a public place to honor her on her birthday, and men and women gather and take part in that. And for a number of years, we had an Isis tea at a local tea house, and that was lots of fun. We enjoyed the food and the opportunity to remember our great mother, she of 10,000 names, who was the oldest of the old, she who is all things, and all things are her. But this year we sort of broke with tradition. We wanted to do something a little bit different, so we actually had a Mediterranean feast instead of a high tea. And it was wonderful. We had hummus and baba ganoush and kebabs and wonderful salad and saffron rice and pomegranate juice and tea. It was just lovely, lovely. I want to thank everyone who came, and I especially want to thank my co-producer of the event, Melody, who worked her fingers to the bone. This woman decorated tablecloths and table runners and goblets, and she had beautiful flowers at the event, and she hung lace curtains, and I just can't say enough about the effort she put forth to make the Isis feast lush and beautiful, and I want to thank her from the bottom of my heart. She has my incredible, incredible gratitude. So I just thought I'd talk a little bit about what you know, what happened at the Isis birthday feast, and then we're going to get into why Goddess is a, you know, with theology and the our ideals of Goddess or the Sacred Feminine would help us toward a sustainable future. We're going to talk about healing and healing goddesses, and I'm probably going to close the show later on tonight with a beautiful meditation, a Kuan Yin healing meditation that I wrote for a ritual not that long ago. So I invite you to call in and chat with me, the number 718-766-4662. Please call in, and when I get to a good stopping point in whatever I'm doing, I will invite you to, you know, to talk with me, to ask me questions, to give me a piece of your mind, you know, whatever it is you'd like to do. So I'm going to start with, you know, what we did Sunday at the Isis birthday feast. Well, as, you know, after everyone gathered, we started our gathering, our sacred ritual, and in one of our traditional ways, which was taught to me by one of my teachers of long ago, Brenda McCoy. She's a priestess of Isis, and she taught me this this saying, and we use it a lot. Imagine ting shaws or singing bowls in the background. your eyes closed and you take a deep breath, and we say this at the opening of our rituals. May my mind be clear. May my heart be pure. May my body be strong. And we say that three times. May my mind be clear. May my heart be pure. May my body be strong. May my mind be clear. May my heart be pure. May my body be strong. And, you know, we looked around the room and greeted our new friends and old friends and took a minute to mention a friend of ours who usually comes to the ISIS event, Joan, who was not with us, unfortunately, this year because her husband was ill. But she asked us to please visualize her happily working in her garden, and that's exactly what we did, surrounded by the golden light of Mary Magdalene. And it was a beautiful thought. And although we were sorry Joan wasn't with us, we sent her good healing energy and good thoughts for her husband's recovery. We had a wonderful altar set up to Isis, Bast, and Sekhmet. It was one of these altar boxes that there's a door on the left and the right that open up, and inside you can see the statues. And I had a statue of Isis from Turkey, actually, from Bodrum, Turkey, that many of our people who attended hadn't actually seen before. So that was kind of a treat. And we had a statue of Sekhmet and Bast. And we invited our feline mothers and Isis to join us at the party and to be with us at this sacred ritual feast. And I called out to Bast. I invoked her and said, "Mother of joy, frivolity, and happiness, bring us these your gifts. You who are a healer of listening, the healer of the human spirit, the guiding hand for psychologists and therapists, reside within us and let your essence permeate our very being." Imagine the Ting Shaws in the background. Then we call to Sekhmet, mother of tenacity manifested. You teach your daughters to have healthy boundaries, to say no without guilt, to be strong, passionate, and protective. You whose eyes are lasers, or the healer by the blade, the guiding hand for surgeons, and you are called upon by those undergoing surgery. Teach us to be like water wearing away rock. Fill us with your strength, passion, and confidence to overcome any obstacle. And you hear the Ting Shaws in the background. And then we got to Isis, whose birthday celebration it was on Sunday. Isis, great mother, you who are all things and all things are you, you who are the sun, the moon, and the stars, you who are the air, water, fire, and earth, you who reside above, below, and on this earthly plane, creatrix of the world, you are the healer by magic, herbs, and medicines. You are the salvation for those who suffer and are ill, especially with chronic illness and desperate cases. You, great mother, who have known suffering, hear our prayers. Hear your children as we call to you and ask you to join our celebration in your honor. And everyone repeated after me three times, Isis, Isis, Aseti, Isis, Isis, Aseti, Isis, Isis, Aseti. Our beloved mothers, healers all, joined us and bestowed upon us their blessings, or we asked them to anyway, and we shook our sistrum. And, we sort of set the intention for the rest of the day. We talked about the many aspects and stages of healing. And, you know, this ritual was written, co-created by me and Melody, and we had such fun putting it together, and we thought it would be so helpful to people today. So we talked about the aspects and stages of healing, you know, that we wanted to release or eliminate what ails us. That we wanted to nurture and care for ourselves and others, regenerate new life, reform and create new flesh and thoughts, create a holistic way of being and be grateful, appreciative, and share our process to heal ourselves and assist others in their healing. And we talked about how we can look to Sekhmet in the beginning stages of healing. We might ask her to help us recognize that we need healing, that some dis-ease exists, that she can help us to gather the facts and face the challenges this dis-ease might present without judgment or fear. We call upon her to help our surgeons to be guided by her to cut away that which no longer functions, or even what no longer serves our own mind. We call upon her to destroy or vanquish that which no longer functions and no longer serves us. We ask her to help us be clear-minded and sure that the path we follow is that which is righteous and without fear. And we can look to Bast and ask her help in nurturing ourselves and others for the closure of wounds and give birth to new flesh, bodies, or thoughts to guide us to be kind, gentle, and patient during the healing process and to dance and celebrate in heart and delight in the fact that we can achieve healing. You know, we can heal ourselves of many things. And we look to the great Mother Isis, she of 10,000 names, Isis in our creation or recreation. We call upon her to help us be holistic in our healing, above in spirit, earthly in body, and deep within our mind. She can help us to gather all aspects of ourselves as she gathered the parts of her beloved Osiris and put all of those parts together to make him whole again and achieve completeness. We ask her to help us do that to ourselves, our body, our minds, our soul. So we interpreted traditional aspects of Sekhmet and Bast and Isis in new ways, ways that don't change or diminish them, but empower them, and also as we call upon them, that we may empower ourselves. Blessed be. Well, you know, the Isis birthday celebration evolved over time. Many people there had been there with us since the beginning, and some were new people, and I was so glad to see their smiling faces and their wonderful energy. We pride ourselves at the Isis birthday that we reach into the community to build bridges, with people that have the same ideals as the Sacred Feminine. And in the past, we've invited Mary Magdalene men and women to the July celebration because they come out and, we see that we have the commonalities of looking to the Sacred Feminine and Divine Masculine, drawing parallels with Jesus and Mary and Isis and Osiris. Now, this year, we continue that idea of building bridges and sharing goddess ideals with the like-minded. And we did it this year showing by how another ally of the Sacred Feminine are those who study Kabbalah. And we had some of Kabbalists there today, and I'm studying it myself, quite frankly. Actually, Kabbalah fits alongside goddess spirituality like a glove in many aspects. Kabbalah predates the Bible. In fact, some of the values make me wonder if it's not a remnant of an ancient goddess spirituality, maybe one of those ancient matriarchies. They say they are not associated with any religion, even Jewish mysticism, because I used to think that. They follow a lunar calendar. They practice magic, namely the Hebrew letters. They practice astrology, and they deal with energy. Now, listen to this. This you might find quite surprising, especially if you think that it's been, a Jewish mysticism tradition. They consider women more evolved than men and teach male students if they are to become happy, successful, and find abundance in their life, they must learn to take the Sacred Feminine, or Shekinah, within themselves. They believe in the light of the creator or creatrix that dwells within and outside us. And I don't think it's such a leap in logic to see the light as the goddess, especially when you look at Isis, Sekhmet, and Bast wearing their solar disks, their crowns. Kabbalists believed if we all learn to share with others, putting aside greed and desire for the self alone, that we can transform the world. Now, how long have I been talking about that as goddess ideals? Not unlike, we understand these goddess ideals to be about the abundance of goddess and measuring ourselves by our generosity and how we are in service rather than measuring ourselves by our bank books. And I recently found out that Kabbalists actually believe that if we don't share with others, that creates disease, literal physical disease. So they are definitely about sharing, sharing even when it hurts, sharing especially when it hurts. So anyway, I think that little mini intro explains why we can easily embrace the Kabbalists alongside those of us of goddess spirituality. And then we went on and talked a little bit about the importance of gratitude, gratitude and appreciation. Well, you know, in the times we're living in today, it might seem very hard to conjure up feelings of gratitude and appreciation. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But first, I'm going to take just a little bit of a break, and I hope you'll stay with me. I am going to play a little bit of a song by Abigail Spinner McBride called Arms of the Mother. Abigail Spinner McBride. She's one of my favorite artists, and I'll try to get to something else by her later on, maybe something dedicated to Sekhmet. Right before we took that music break, I was talking about gratitude and appreciation and how important it is. And in the times we're living in today, it might seem very hard to conjure up those feelings. Maybe we're full of fear, anger, jealousy, disappointment. Well, you know, we can't let those feelings get the upper hand, especially because showing gratitude and appreciation is such a powerful, magical tool of the cosmos. It's part of the equation of how the law of attraction works, actually. I wonder if you thought about that. What we focus on comes back to us because our thoughts are powerful tools of manifestation. So if we focus on lack of money or bills, or our bills, well, that's what we get more of, lack of money and bills. If we focus on how miserable we feel, well, we'll continue to be in the dumps and maybe in a bad mood. So, this is a magical exercise. This is an act of affirmation, of positive thinking. Be appreciative, even if you feel there might be days when things look grim. But really think about everything you do have to be grateful for and immerse yourself in the positive, gold, glowing feeling of gratitude and appreciation. And you know you'll attract to yourself more things to be grateful for. You know, even if maybe you don't feel like you have anything to be grateful for except maybe your beautiful cat who sits in your lap at night and purrs so serenely and makes you feel good when you run your hand through her fur. You know, but we can be appreciative of the money that we do have, and more will come to us. We can be appreciative of the love and good friends in our lives, and more will come to us. And remember, the more you feel you have, the more you actually manifest. Then you will have more to share with others, to be generous. Now, that's key, because that's part of the power of the attraction equation. As the circle of reciprocity turns, yes, to be generous, to share. Be someone who defines themselves by their gratitude and their sharing. Be concerned for another, and others will be concerned for you. You know, we're not islands. We are interconnected and depend on each other. Goddess teaches us our relatedness, not survival of the fittest in this individualism that we hear about, you know, that Ayn Rand rhetoric. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to be satisfied with what you have and you can't want more than you might already have. I'm just saying focus on gratitude for what you do have. Don't focus on scarcity, and you will actually get back what you give. And as I said earlier, you know, the Kabbalists actually say it's even more powerful to give and share when you don't have a lot to give and share. You get more light, you get more blessings, you get more grace when giving is difficult. Not just giving away something you don't want, you know, like we tend to go give stuff to the goodwill. Sure, people benefit from that, but the real benefit of giving comes when you give, you know, when it's uncomfortable, when it hurts. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you, and I hope it's helpful. So, you know, we talked about that, we played some games. We gave away lots of wonderful gifts at the party. Jillian sang a wonderful Celtic song. She was actually going to tell the story of Isis gathering up all of Osiris's parts and putting him back together, healing him, so that they could, you know, come together and create Horus. But, people wanted to hear her sing a beautiful Celtic song, and that's what she did. And we cut the cake and lit, and everyone got a birthday candle to actually take home, because I understand that the Greeks believed that when you lit candles, I think this is where the idea of birthday candles on cakes came. They believed that when you lit candles and said a prayer to the divine, and then you blew out the candle, the smoke going up to the heavens actually sent your prayer to your god or to your goddess. So next time you have a birthday party and you light the birthday candles, you know, think about that. I think I will not, think about birthday cake and candles in such a mundane way anymore now that I know that. And I think one of my listeners actually sent that information in to me. So, we've talked about, Sekhmet and Bast and Isis as goddesses you can call on for healing. We talked a bit about how Kabbalah, has things in common with the sacred feminine. We've talked about gratitude. And we're going to talk about how the sacred feminine can actually help us toward a sustainable future. But before we do, I'm going to read the motto of the show, because so many of you actually say that you love to hear this. It makes you feel better, to be reminded of this. So, as many of us goddess advocates know, adversaries of the sacred feminine tried to sweep away awareness and knowledge of her for all time. And with that sweeping away, when the great she was made to disappear because of the religion of patriarchy, of selfish and disconnected men and their war gods, well, women and their power, their leadership, their spiritual authority was thwarted, repressed, became taboo, diminished, and disrespected. That's why here on the show I am dedicated to recovering the great she, whether she be deity, archetype, or ideal. Yes, we intend to defy, to taste the forbidden fruit, to be powerful and uppity women, to throw off the shackles, look under every rock, behind every locked door, peer into the abyss of the past so that we know why things have become the way they are, how they have become so turned on their head and unnatural, and we are going about setting things right. Why? Well, because if we want to save ourselves as a species, I think we have no other choice. If we want to restore balance, harmony, and wholeness, sanity in our world, it's women like us and our like-minded brothers, armed with the ideas of the sacred feminine, who will set things back on course. And our two mottos for the show, the first: all truth passes through three stages. First, it's ridiculed. Second, it's violently opposed. And third, it's accepted for being self-evident. That's from German philosopher Arthur Schopenhauer from the 19th century. And the second is attributed to Gandhi, who said it would be Western women who might save the world. He said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. So, some food for thought, and what's become the motto of the show. So I want to invite you again to call in and chat. The number 718-766-4662. Actually, I have to change that on the outgoing message. I'm going to do that right now. And hopefully you're getting that on Facebook, and maybe you'll have a minute to call in and talk. And I think the next thing I'm going to do, you can actually find a visual of me talking about this on my YouTube channel. Yes, I do have a YouTube channel. You can find a lot of presentations I've made there. My wonderful husband sometimes will come out with a video camera, and I record some of my talks to use as teaching aids later. And he recorded a talk that I gave at the American Academy of Religion. And I was asked to give a talk on the politics of eco-feminist goddess spirituality. In other words, goddess theology for a sustainable future. So you can watch me give this talk, and but I'm going to go ahead and share some of it with you right now. And then after we do that, if we don't have any callers, I'm going to share some other announcements with you. And I'm going to close the show with a wonderful healing meditation, a meditation geared toward Kuan Yin that we did some time ago for a healing ritual, because certainly so many of us out there need healing of our bodies, of our minds, of our souls. So anyway, the paper that I gave about looking to goddess ideals and goddess herstory for a sustainable future, well, it goes like this. And I hope you'll sit back with a cup of tea and just close your eyes and think about what I'm saying, even if maybe some of this you don't agree with. I'd love to hear from you and chat about it. So I started off by getting a little bit controversial. I said, goddess is a Democrat. Well, yes, you can imagine the feedback from that statement. But it was a statement that came from interviews that I did with Rhianne Eisler and Starhawk on my radio show right here on Voices of the Sacred Feminine. You can find those interviews in the archives. But what were we really saying in that statement that might not have been immediately evident? Goddess is a Democrat. Some people got offended with that because they said, why are you reducing goddess to a political party? Well, stick with me here. We were saying the strategy to move us toward that paradigm shift into a post-curiarchal world would not just be the use of secular law, but through a change in theology. That's theology with an A, T-H-E-A-L-O-G-Y. We believe at the Institute of Theology and Deosophy, the mythology of the sacred feminine, deity, archetype, and ideal, might reestablish the foundations on our planet necessary for a sustainable future for all life and Mother Earth. And here's the line of thought. Well, you know, we know religion, law, and society are shaped in large part by our mythology. We believe the ancient mythology of the sacred feminine, perhaps 40,000 years old or more, has been obscured and demonized by an immature youngster, male-dominated religion, the linchpin of patriarchy, leaving us with false normalcy. In other words, cultures that set men above women, with men indoctrinated to believe they are the rightful masters over nature, and intolerant male-dominated religions believing their God is the only real God, who gives them license to crusade against non-believers, having nothing to counter this unnatural imbalance, we've been left to endure all manner of oppression, like, here's the laundry list, fundamentalism, genocide, militarism, imperialism, homophobia, racism, infanticide, sexism, female genital mutilation, predator capitalism, slavery, exploitation, corporate fascism, threats to our democracy. All as we face environmental catastrophe. Well, according to Egyptian feminist and professor Nawal Sadawi, she said, and I quote, patriarchy needs God to justify injustice, unquote. But I want to repeat that again, her quote. Patriarchy needs God to justify injustice. What a powerful statement. Think about that. So until we can get religion out of politics and economics, goddess advocates counter, we must start rethinking our mythology or our religion, seeing the divine not just in male terms, which is dominant in the collective psyche, so that we also see the divine in female terms and value the ideals that go along with maternal values, or we may never achieve a contemporary egalitarian society of equality, partnership, and peace for people of Gaia. Okay, so we're going to get political here. You know, how can we not? You know, Mom always said to me, Karen, you know, you don't talk at the dinner table about sex or power or politics or money. It makes people uncomfortable. Well, you know what? How convenient is that? You know, that just shuts down anything that doesn't support the status quo, doesn't it? So we're going to get a little controversial here. And, you know, like I said before at the opening, you might not agree with me, but just hear me out. We can debate about it later. So, getting back to my paper, the next part of it, I get into comparing the generally accepted views of liberals and conservatives. This is where we start to get into Democrats versus Republicans. According to Berkeley professor and author George Lakoff and his article, The Primitive Conservative Psyche, the conservative belief in individual responsibility to the exclusion of social responsibility is based on the model of the strict authoritarian father, sometimes called the psychological superego or inner critic, which can manifest in the weak or unaware mind as judgmental, aggressive, negative, ruthless, mocking, unforgiving and irrational, with a distrust of government. Doesn't that sound like people we see on the news? I mean, doesn't it, though? Seriously? Lakoff equates conservative mentality to a primitive aspect of human nature, explaining, and I quote him here, conservatives' mental gymnastics for disrespecting the poor enable them to practice guilt-free ruthlessness while feeling morally superior, unquote. I'll say that again. Conservatives' mental gymnastics for disrespecting the poor enable them to practice guilt-free ruthlessness while feeling morally superior, unquote. They rationalize their lack of empathy by claiming that the poor deserve their poverty because they are responsible for their own feelings, rather than considering they might be doing well considering the hand they've been dealt. Likewise, we know many Christians see their wealth as a gift from God and rationalize poverty as punishment for sin. Conservatives tend to want to support established institutions for social stability, even if this stable order means the oppression of patriarchy. According to economist John Kenneth Galbraith, and I'm quoting him here, the modern conservative is engaged in one of man's oldest exercises in moral philosophy, that is, the search for a superior moral justification for selfishness, unquote. Let me just say that again. The modern conservative is engaged in one of man's oldest exercises in moral philosophy, that is, the search for a superior moral justification for selfishness, unquote. Well, on the flip side, according to Webster's Dictionary, liberals, they are defined as being generous, broad-minded, and tolerant, and believe in individual rights and freedoms. Liberals want progress and value equality, diversity, and social justice. They view government as the protector of the environment and people and want government to help alleviate social ills and protect civil liberties and human rights. That said, perhaps it's clear to see why Rhianne Eisler, along with many other goddess advocates, have said, until we have a viable eco-feminist goddess political party, maternal values of the sacred feminine are more in sync with liberal and progressive ideals, which are the home of the true Democratic Party. Now, I'm not talking about the blue dogs or the faux Democrats. I'm talking about the Democrats who helped build our social safety net, our Medicare, our Social Security, our labor laws that protect us. So let's look at several examples of the marriage between liberal values, political platforms of Democrats, and sacred feminine mythology. Yeah, kind of interesting, I think, huh? Well, number one, we find under the broad umbrella of goddess many faces across continents and cultures with no mandate that we worship one name, one face. Instead, we see a metaphor for diversity and inclusion and a loving and life-affirming sacred feminine, rather than the jealous, one-way, monotheistic god of patriarchy, keen on asking men to sacrifice their sons and prove their loyalty and go kill the heathens. Likewise, the Democratic umbrella casts its net wide. It generally speaking, the natural home of those embracing gender equality and people of all walks of life, gay, straight, people of all skin colors and religion or no religion at all. Well, juxtapose that with the majority of white Christian faces peering out at you from a male-dominated Republican National Convention. Remember Sarah Palin talking about lipstick on a pig? Remember all those faces peering out at you? All right, number two, here's another way that there's a marriage between liberal values, political platforms, and sacred feminine mythology. Consider the mythology of the Inuit goddess Sedna. She's the gatekeeper between humankind and the sea creatures upon which people depend for their livelihood. If man becomes too greedy and exploits the creatures of the sea, well, Sedna cuts him off until he takes only what he needs. Greed and excess are taboo, as we are all interdependent on one another. Likewise, real Democrats are the gatekeepers demanding regulation, so corporations can't run amok and destroy the resources of Mother Earth or the rights of people, the workers. On the other hand, because of the Republican worldview in favor of free trade and globalization, the GOP has fought against taking steps to alleviate the threat of climate change. They dismiss it as a hoax or a socialist plot to redistribute wealth from corporate polluters to the poor nations they've harmed, or to pay fines for the oceans and the rivers and the Gulf of Mexico that they've polluted. Here's a third example of this marriage between liberal values, political platforms of Democrats, and sacred feminine mythology. It comes with the Egyptian goddess Isis. She bestowed upon pharaohs from her. Pharaohs had their right to rule, and they were to rule their kingdoms under the laws of the goddess Maat, namely truth, balance, order, and justice. Likewise, the Roman Lady Libertas represented the deification of the virtue of freedom. So the goddesses are showing us the way. We're just not following. It should be noted that it was under Democratic administrations progress was made on civil rights and social safety nets, while Republicans generally put corporate interests before people. Case in point, the conservative-leaning Supreme Court's decision that corporations are people, which has had a devastating and disastrous effect on the democratic process. Corporations can buy government. Corporations can buy the laws that are good for them and not good for people and workers and the environment. Republicans have forced a watering down of regulation of Wall Street and threatened to defund many consumer protection agencies. And how can we ignore Fox News, arm of the Republican Party, who cannot get into Canada because of regulations there against the media disseminating misinformation? Here's a fourth example of this marriage of liberals, Democrats, and goddess. In the theology of the sacred feminine, goddess affirms women's bodies and sexuality. Priestesses of pharmacology, midwives, and women hold power over their own bodies, and life and death is in their hands. Well, today the patriarchy dictates to women the parameters of beauty, and women fall victim to their standards, spending countless millions with plastic surgeons to live up to some impossible patriarchal ideal. The patriarchy wants to control all aspects of women's sexuality and reproduction. Big Pharma now holds the power over women's bodies as they encourage women to disconnect from their menses, you know, that monthly inconvenience, that curse. They say, here, take our pill and see your sacred blood magically disappear. Disconnect from one of the very things that empowers you as a woman. In a not-so-veiled culture war, the GOP has declared war on women by attempting to defund Planned Parenthood, thwart access to contraception, trying to pass laws to make divorces harder to obtain, trying to legalize the murder of abortion providers, and by having miscarriage investigated and abortions abolished. Women's bodies and lives are the terrain on which this current extremist conservative movement is taking place. That's where they're taking their stand. Remember in November they got into office saying it would be about jobs? Well, it hasn't been about jobs. It's been the biggest lie, the biggest bait and switch. Since November, more than 900 laws have been passed in Republican-controlled Congresses across the United States that have to do simply with controlling women's bodies. You know what? You don't have to believe me. Google it. Okay, let's go on to number five, the fifth reason I'm saying liberals, Democrats, and goddess theology are in sync. Within the theology of the divine feminine, goddess affirms female power. Where goddess was worshipped, her temples were the centers of wisdom, culture, financial power, and were often presided over by women. Researchers point to matriarchal societies past and present where goddess was venerated and maternal values practiced. Women and children were protected and had a spot at the center of the culture, reaping the benefit of that positioning at the center. According to Egyptian feminist, activist, and psychiatrist Nawal Sadawi, I'm talking about her again, there can be no real democracy without equality, and there is neither under patriarchy. Let me repeat that. Nawal Sadawi, feminist, activist, psychiatrist, says there can be no real democracy without equality, and there is neither under patriarchy. However, strides are being made by the United Nations and the U.S. State Department to empower women, which is considered the moral imperative of our time. You know, at one point it was slavery. At one point it was, you know, helping blacks achieve equal rights. Well, now it's about women's empowerment. Former President and Democrat Jimmy Carter left his church because of how the Bible discriminates against the female gender and thwarts women from realizing their fullest potential. Feminist women are at the forefront, exploring exchange and gift economies as an example, as an antidote to crumbling predator capitalism. On the other hand, Republicans have voted down laws that would guarantee equal pay for women, despite women being heads of households. You know, women do more than 80% of the work around the world while owning less than 20% of the assets. In the United States, females comprise only 17% of leadership positions within academia, corporations, and religious institutions. Do you know 70% of women still retire in poverty? Writing for The Nation magazine in the article titled The War on Women's Futures, Princeton professor and author Melissa Harris Perry decodes the message shrouded in the language of Republican fiscal austerity, which disproportionately affects women, as the GOP social agenda to undo much progress made by women, forcing them back into the domestic sphere as they cut family planning services, create an environment of compulsory childbearing where women cannot control their fertility, making them unable to compete for degrees or jobs with their female counterparts. Think about that. Also, number six. Within goddess spirituality or religion, advocates believe we do not diminish other men and women to assert our own strength. We do not diminish others to assert our own strength. We do not exploit others. We strive for win-win situations through negotiation and partnership, not power over and domination. Great book to read, Rhianne Eisler. Chalice and the Blade, or The Partnership Way. Read her work. She's been one of my mentors for years. She set me on this path, quite frankly, and I thank her. Over the years, we've witnessed how patriarchy, militarism, imperialism, colonialism, conquest, and fundamentalism exploits people and resources, creating poverty and inequity at home and across the globe. We can witness how predator or disaster capitalism is used to amass great wealth and grab power for the haves. We see how the absence of journalistic integrity, coupled with corporate interests, can result in a country being brainwashed into any number of ideals, including a bogus war. We see how history and school books are being rewritten to serve a conservative agenda. We see how Tier 1 religions have rights and protections not offered Tier 2 religions. Well, Christianity is a Tier 1 religion. Goddess spirituality isn't. We fear how the current economic, environmental, and political crises we face will be exploited to militarize our societies and further strip away rights and liberties. Just turn on the news, people. We are standing at the crossroads with the goddess Hecate. She is shining her light and showing us where we have been, where we are, and where we might go. And you know what? It's up to us to decide what kind of world we want to live in. Mahatma Gandhi was asked by a journalist what he thought of Western civilization, and he answered, "It's a good idea. They ought to try it." Well, will we try civilization? We say we are a religious nation, yet the poverty rate is the third worst among developing nations, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. And the poverty rate is expected to rise from 13.2% to 15% this year. 40 million Americans are on food stamps, and that number is expected to rise. 99ers, whose unemployment benefits long ago ran out, is off everyone's radar screen. Yet despite unemployment benefits being an insurance workers pay into, Republicans held these benefits hostage back in December until President Obama agreed to extend tax cuts for the richest 2% of people in the country. While the polls show that 60, 70, 80% of Americans want shared sacrifice, the Republicans just held the country hostage and our Democratic president hostage yet again, saying that they would not agree to anything unless we maintained tax cuts for the rich who have more money in this country now than ever before, this country who has the biggest wealth gap than a lot of other third world countries. We really seriously need to wake up. Republicans aren't even making an attempt to pretend they're about creating jobs. House Republican Boehner, famous for passing out checks from tobacco lobbyists on the floor of Congress, said if their budget cuts cost American jobs, so be it. So be it, he said. And we've seen what a war they've waged on workers and government employees. While the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty estimates that 700,000 to 2 million people are homeless on any given night, This is in America, people. In the last few weeks, well, it's a few months now, in the last few months, Republican governor in Florida was trying to pass a law to take money directly from the poor and elderly, and he's not even trying to hide. He's giving it to corporations. The Republican governor of Michigan wants to pass a law that will allow him to dismiss elected officials. In fact, they have done that. Several Republican governors are destroying labor rights to collective bargaining. We are the only industrialized nation that doesn't provide health care for all its citizens. Republicans, remember, you know, the family values folks? Well, they want to keep us at the mercy of health care monopolies. The latest census figures show the gap between rich and poor widening to the largest margin ever, with the richest 1% pocketing more than 20% of total income, which is greater than the total amount earned by the entire bottom 50%. CEOs that once made 25 times more than their employees now make 350 times more than workers. And no one from Wall Street has gone to jail for the economic meltdown across the country and across the globe. Well, you know, the Dalai Lama said it would be Western women who would save the world. I suggest, might it actually be goddess theology? How would people react to a change in mythology? Well, you know, if the popularity of the recent movie Avatar is any indicator, the movie many I know equated with goddess church, I think the sacred feminine might stage a coup based on interconnection, reverence for nature, a mother goddess, respect of one another and the planet. Most people thought those were pretty cool ideas in that movie. They wanted on the first ship to Pandora. Many told me they cried as Jake knelt at the Tree of Souls, imploring Pandora's goddess for help, saying his race, the Earthlings, called the Sky People, had destroyed their mother, and now they were coming to Pandora to destroy her tomorrow. Yes, the Pope was so concerned by the response to Avatar's message, he felt compelled to come out publicly and reiterate his dogma. He said, "Nature will never replace religion." And yes, many Christians saw no value in Pandora's values as they preferred a military conquest and corporate victory over the other, you know, the people not like them, those blue-skinned tree huggers. Well, the tree huggers on Gaia of all colors and genders and religions are calling on goddess theology to reset the balance as she did on Pandora. Can we do it? Can change happen? Well, I'll bet when St. Paul was run out of Ephesus in Turkey, lucky to be alive after he tried to turn the masses away from their beloved goddess Artemis, he must have wondered if this fledgling Christianity he was selling would ever stick. And if you lived and worshipped in pagan Rome, you probably never dreamed you would see the day the empire would be dominated by Christians. And if you were an early Christian fearing for your life, you surely wondered what the future held. In the 19th century, it was debated if women even had souls. Do you know that? It was debated if women had souls. The United States allowed slavery. Women fighting for the vote in America were threatened with institutionalization and arrest for their activism and desire for equality. Not that long ago, the thought of an African-American or woman becoming president was unheard of. Well, one thing is certain. Change and transformation are inevitable, and it occurs when enough people will it. After a profound event, or when circumstances collide that usher in transitions of new beginnings. Whether we're talking about Egypt, Wisconsin, the naked greed out there, the swelling poverty, the regressive and oppressive politics of Republicans, so obviously not interested in helping anyone but corporations. Disaster and predator capitalism, Wall Street abuses. Well, have we had enough yet, people? Have we had enough yet? Are we going to hit the streets yet? Are we going to demand that things be different? Gaia, Kali, Sekhmet, Isis, Durga, Maat, Sedna, Demeter, we call upon you. We call upon you to help us reset the balance. Think about that. Think about that. I'm going to just switch gears a little bit here and switch over to something upbeat. And for the next minute, you're going to hear Choose Love by Laura Kane. And when I come back, we're going to do a meditation for healing, a Kuan Yin meditation. If you'd like to call in, now's the time, 718-766-4662.
I say I will. I'll take the ride. 'Cause I'd rather have connections, pleasure and pain, than be alone here with my pride. Okay, I'll take my shot. This time I'll take my chance. 'Cause that's all I have left. If I don't, if I won't choose love, and pride's all I'll have left. If I don't choose love.
Love. That's what Laura says. That's what Jesus says. That's what Goddess says. Sharing, caring, appreciation, gratitude, balance, wholeness, peace. You know, is it so much to ask? All right, well, we are going to get to that healing meditation to close the show. But before we do, just a few announcements. I'm not sure if you know it or not, but airtime here on Blog Talk is no longer free, and I am now going to give you a free gift if you help support the show. If you send in a contribution of $100, I will send you my 3 CD set of radio shows when I was on CBS discussing with other goddess advocates sacred places of goddess around the world. And you can't get that anywhere but directly from me. It doesn't live in any archives anymore. If you donate less than $100, I'll send you one CD of those Sacred Place CDs or an assortment of other little thank you gifts. You know what? Any amount helps because it all adds up. Please remember, or maybe it's the first time you've heard, Blog Talk is no longer free to hosts. The last year has been great because Blog Talk provided us the platform free of charge. Well, now it costs us a minimum of about $40 each month. So I'm looking for a sponsor, or as I said, just a few people who can commit to help pay for the airtime to keep us on the air. It's not a lot of money yet. I'm hoping if you like Voices of the Sacred Feminine, you'll help support the show. Remember, Goddess teaches us what we tend to, what we nurture, what we nourish, it thrives. What we neglect, it withers. So thanks to those of you who have already sent in donations. And I know I'm here sounding like PBS on a fundraising drive, but, you know, I think you need to know that I actually pay to give others a platform for their work so that they can teach me and all of our listeners. Tonight is a rare exception, you know, because of the last-minute sickness of our scheduled guest, Frank Schaefer. Tonight is a rare exception where I share with you things, you know, that I've written or information about my books and my rituals. Usually I keep that to a bare minimum, but tonight I'm using the airtime to you know, talk about goddess, talk about healing, talk about gratitude, talk about how goddess ideals and politics work together or don't. So if you'd like to make a contribution, please go to the Goddess Store page of my website at KarenTate.com, and there are PayPal buttons there. Make a donation of any amount you can afford, or, you know what, just email me. You can contact me through my Blog Talk page. Email me there, make a comment. If you'd like to send a check, I'm happy to accept a check. I'll send to tell you where to send it. And if you're looking at your computer screen and you're looking at my show page, look for the three F's. The three F's are favorite, friend, and follow. I'd love it if you would mark Voices of the Sacred Feminine a favorite. Be sure to become our friend. Click those F's, favorite, friend, and maybe the most important F is follow, the F for follow, so that you never miss notice of my new guests each week. That way you're part of our growing family of listeners across the globe. And you know what? I would love if you would make some comments. There's a place there on the show page for you to also comment about what you've heard on the show. And, you know, again, I don't usually talk a lot about my own work, but do you know I've written two books? While you're at KarenTate.com, might I invite the influx of new listeners from across town and across the globe to please check out my two books, which have actually garnered prestigious endorsements and awards. Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations was my first book, and Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirth and Goddess on Planet Earth, that was the second. They're like bookends, really. The first one tells you how to get to sacred places around the globe if you're a traveler, but if you're more the armchair tourist, many reviews have been outstanding because people have said the book takes them there. Sacred Places of Goddess is sold everywhere, even in museum bookstores. And Walking an Ancient Path, well, it was a finalist in the spirituality category of the National Best Books Awards. I describe it as sort of a, a spiritual and socio-political look at embracing goddess as deity archetype and ideal into your life or into your community. Both books are sold everywhere, but you can take advantage of a special I have for listeners and people who visit my website. You can get both books for $25 plus shipping and handling, and I'll sign them for you. Because you know what? Walking Ancient Path, if you buy it in the bookstore, that one alone is $24.95. So it's really like a two-for-one. Not a bad idea for holiday gifts if, you know, you're starting to think about gifts for kids returning to school or graduates or even the holidays, or you know what, the holidays are around the corner. And again, while you're at the website, there's free stuff there. Yes, free stuff. I'm waving the banner of free stuff. Do you hear me talking about free stuff? There's the feed form. Free stuff, well, that's on my website too. Stop the beast form. Besides the wonderful information and opportunities for teaching and articles found there, and including links to Facebook and my YouTube channel, check out the free meditations. Besides the one I'm going to do later on tonight, there are other meditations there. I have one there for the spring that has all the pagan dying and rising gods sitting at the knee of goddess. And then in the end of the meditation, those faces morph into that of Jesus, sort of referencing the pagan roots of Christianity and how we can find common ground with our progressive Christian friends. There's also another one that takes you on a sacred journey to a temple of Isis. And there's a Sekhmet meditation to help you get to know Sekhmet a bit better. I also have a new article posted on the articles page that ran in the international magazine called La Luz. The article is entitled "The Inhumanity of the GOP, Always for Profits, Not People." And, you know, can't we just see that playing out all over the country as they use the deficit as an excuse to take away rights from workers, try to repeal child labor laws, do away with minimum wage, Social Security, Medicare, and don't even get me started on how they're trying to decimate women's rights to their own bodies, all the while crying about regulation to keep the environments clean and to keep the bankers from robbing us blind or the oil companies from destroying our ecosystem. Yeah, they don't want big government for those things, but they want big government to control women's bodies. Don't forget, for future shows, you can always email in questions if you don't want to talk live. But if you do, keep this number handy, 718-766-4662. It's right there on your computer screen, and I'm going to tell the people on Facebook that they can call in right now and chat with me if they like. I'm going to take one quick break again, let you hear a little bit more music, and then we're going to be back to do that meditation for Kuan Yin. Let's see, what am I going to let you listen to right now? I think maybe I Am Goddess by Lisa Thiel for just one quick minute, and then we're going to come back and do the meditation, the healing meditation. So stay tuned.
Mother of life, I am the goddess, bearer of life. I am the goddess divine. I am the goddess divine. I see Venus is
Well, thank you, listeners. Thank you for staying with me. And we are going to do the Kuan Yin healing meditation right now. So I'd like to invite you to relax and breathe. Just sort of breathe into that, you know, that space in your body where you go to connect to the divine within. Relax, breathe, keep your eyes closed. Let the stress and worry of the outside world fade away. You know, get comfortable, put your feet flat on the ground and put your arms at your side. You know, let the worries of the world just go. If your mind wanders, let it just come back to the sound of my voice. See the images I suggest on the movie screen of your third eye. Breathe in and breathe out. Again, just allow yourself to go to that place within, that place that holds the wisdom, that place that connects to the source. The place from where your connection to all life comes forth and grows. Breathe in, breathe out. Breathe in and breathe out. Keeping your eyes closed, focus on the sound of my voice and let it be your guide. You see yourself on a sunny beach. The sand under your skin is warm and shifts under your body with each motion. You hear the tide from the ocean very near rolling in and out with its ebb and flow, ebb and flow. The sound has you mesmerized as you allow yourself to lie there, soaking in the peacefulness of this quiet place. You feel drawn in and notice your breath has become one with the ocean tides. In and out, in and out. You feel as if you're about to doze off. When you hear a sweet melody in the distance, it piques your curiosity. You wonder where the sound might be coming from because you thought you were alone in this faraway place, on this faraway, isolated beach. So you decide to get up and explore the sound. You gather yourself from this place and walk toward the sand dunes rising high behind you. As you climb to the top of the dunes and look between the tall grasses, you see in the distance a large natural opening in the rocky cliff. You listen to the melody again, and you're still intrigued. So you walk closer to the cave entrance. What possibly might be within making this beautiful, ethereal sound, coaxing you forward, tempting you within? In a moment or two, you're standing at the entrance to the cave. You feel the coolness within compared to the warmth of the sun's rays from the beach. The darkness, the coolness, it's inviting you, and you feel drawn to go within. You feel no sense of danger, only a strange sense of calm, of peace, serenity, coolness, comfort. So will you allow yourself to go deeper within? You are surprised how your eyes acclimate to the darkness, allowing you to see around within with ease. It's almost as if there is some natural light that reflects off the shimmering stones you see protruding from the rocks that permeate the cave's interior. The melody continues to invite you within, so you walk deeper, all the while mesmerized by the beauty of this darkness and the sensation that something lies deep within that you must see. As you go still deeper, you have no fear about being able to find your way out. This path has been easy and the return leaves no doubt. You focus on the melody. You look at the beauty of the walls around you, the beautiful stones cut in the rock. They shimmer. They're beautiful colors. You focus on the melody and you are unsure if it's the voice of a woman or the strands of some ethereal instrument. You only know it has you within its sweet embrace. Interestingly, it seems, with each gust of breeze that emanates from within, the sound seems louder, as if the sound is carried on the breath of this place, as if this very cavern is alive, breathing. You're within it, safe. Intrigued and trusting your instincts, you go farther still within the cool and inviting darkness. You know there's no danger in this place, and you must find the source of this enchanting sound. In a moment, you come upon a larger opening as the cavern becomes brighter, larger, rounder. You notice a glint of something shiny on the wall before you, and your eyes strain to focus. As you move closer, you reach out your hand and touch the golden source that seems encrusted in the rock. Instantly, you jump back as the golden object begins to morph before your eyes. You can hardly believe the transformation happening. You stand there spellbound, unable to move, yet you're not afraid. The glint of gold is changing shape and growing and taking form. It's as if you have awakened something from its slumber. You are reminded of unbelievable stories from ancient myths, of seekers, sailors, and travelers who chance upon the unexplained. And here you find yourself a player in just such a wondrous story, and you choose to let your mind suspend disbelief. Mesmerized and unafraid, you stand there and watch the full transformation as the glint of what appeared to be gold slowly materializes in a hazy-like mist to reveal the body of a woman clad in shimmering robes. How does she look to you? What color is her hair? What does she wear upon her head? Her feet. Can you see what she holds in her hand? It appears to be a jar made of the precious stone called alabaster. Your eyes are drawn to the jar and the gentleness of her hands and eyes. She seems to be speaking to you, yet her lips do not move. You realize the melody you've been hearing is now becoming clearer. Once distant and alluring, but without actual words you could understand, you now suddenly realize the melody is actually her voice, and you are slowly, slowly coming to understand the language that lives within the magical sounds emanating from her very being. Transfixed on her golden form, you look closer, listening, and trying to take in every detail, because you know this experience is a very special gift. You let your eyes gaze upon her from head to toe. You see her golden form begin to glow and shimmer, begin to spread toward you as if you are magically being embraced in her golden essence. You feel its warmth and you breathe deeply on instinct, soaking in that which is being given to you. You begin to realize this great mother is healing you of that which tormented you, of that which ails you, of that which gives you angst or pain. You feel that which gave you angst, pain, worry, fear, dread. Well, all of that is subsiding. It is no more. It is done. It is finished. That quickly the golden glow of the mother heals. As this revelation becomes more real, you seem to be guided to focus on that which was broken when you entered the cave. Perhaps your wounds were obvious, perhaps not, but you are being shown in the presence of this goddess you have the ability to overcome and heal. In that moment, still in her golden embrace, you notice her fingers are reaching within the alabaster jar. Then she touches you to anoint your forehead. Her words until now had been soothing, a healing melody, but now they clearly take shape as she says these words. I heal thee, my child, with this sacred salve. Never doubt your wounds can be healed. Never doubt the love I have in my heart for you, for I have created you and wish you only joy and happiness. Go forth now, live your life to its fullest. Follow your dreams, and remember, I am always here for you. As you take in her words, look again at this golden goddess. What do you see, and how do you feel in her presence? You can savor this moment and burn it into your memory. Allow the sensations of this moment to overtake you. Bask in her golden glow. Close your eyes and take in the healing and love she offers you. Feel it to your very core. Breathe it in and listen. Close your eyes and hear if there are any other words or messages she offers you right now. You notice that the golden glow that embraced you is beginning to fade. It is receding back toward the golden form of the great She. You still feel her smile upon you. You feel her essence, but her shape is becoming faint and formless. Within a few minutes, there is only the golden glint embedded within the rock, and her voice is once again the natural melody on the wind that lives within this womb-like cavern. You understand your audience with Goddess has come to an end, but you know this is a place you can return anytime you need her golden touch, her loving embrace, her healing and guidance. You turn around and begin to retrace your steps back toward the mouth of the cave. You breathe in deeply, hearing, soaking in the faint melody that once called you with such urgency. You understand that She knew you needed her, and She revealed herself to you. You awakened her in your time of need, in your time of seeking, in your time of doubt. Soon you see the rays of the bright sunshine before you. Once again, the only sounds you hear are the ebb and flow of the ocean beyond. Maybe you hear the call of the birds above. You step out into the brightness of day, and you are awakened. You are back where you started from, back where your journey began. You are back there sitting in your room, your living room, your kitchen, your bedroom, wherever you were when you started the journey. Open your eyes, shake your hands, say your name out loud right now. Go ahead, say it. Shake your hands, shake your feet. Bring yourself back from the sacred journey, refreshed, invigorated, confident in your ability to call upon the essence you experienced in these past moments whenever the need arises. Well, listeners, I want to thank you very much for being with me tonight as we sort of shifted gears for tonight's show. I want to tell you who is going to be on the show in the next coming weeks, and then we're going to close with a beautiful song by Zingaya again, dedicated to Sekhmet. But first, I want you to know that next Wednesday on the show, I'm going to have Judika Isles, and we are going to be talking about the Fox Sisters, who were the first women spiritualists. The Fox Sisters and women's influence on the birth of spiritualism. That's it. We're going to talk about who the Fox Sisters were and this female participation in spiritualism, why it's so controversial. You know, you might not know what spiritualism is. We're going to talk about that too. And we're going to discuss the connections between spiritualism, the abolitionist movement, the free love movement, and women's rights movement, and some other, we'll talk about other prominent female spiritualists. Other talking points, we're going to talk about the Sibyls and the Oracle of Delphi all next week with Judika Isles. Then I'm going to be away on vacation for a week, so on the 17th there will probably be no show. Then I'll be back on the 24th, and I am going to have Jane Caputi with us. One of our foremothers, she's written some awesome books. She's written three books, all against patriarchal domination, The Age of Sex Crimes, Gossips, Gorgons, and Crones, The Fates of, She's written three books, all against patriarchal domination, The Age of Sex Crime, that's one. The second one, Gossips, Gorgons, and Crones, The Fate of the Earth and Goddesses. And then she's got Monsters, Women, Myth, and Power, and Popular Cultures. So we're going to be talking about how patriarchal religion contributes to disrespect for and violence against the earth and women. In her book, The Age of Sex Crime, she argued that serial killers of women are terrorists and how such are made into patriarchal cultural heroes. We're going to talk about the ways that that sexist and murderous violence against women, gynocide or femicide. We're also going to get into talk about the recent mass murders in the United States and Norway, how they're an intrinsic part of patriarchal culture. We're going to get into all of that. And then the final Wednesday of the show, I'm going to have Jo Carson on. She is going to be talking about the film she made. I believe it's called Gaia Dancing. But the main focus of our show is going to be the magic of Farrah Faria. It's sort of a loving celebration of wilderness mysteries with fairy style. We're going to talk about the great work of Farrah Faria and how it unites with ecology and artistry and mythology. Interesting stuff. I think you'll enjoy the next few shows. And I hope you're enjoying the summer and the beauty around you. Remember, take a moment every day and create sacredness in your life. Have what we talked about at Sacred Sundays, make a creation break. And, instead of a coffee break or a cigarette break, when you're at work or wherever you are, make a creation break. Show gratitude. Think about the things in your life that you have to be grateful for. I'm sure there's a list of them. Because, when you express gratitude for those things you have, even if you don't have enough of it, you will bring more of that to you, as I said earlier in the show. So be grateful for the money you do have. Be grateful for the people in your life who love you. Be grateful for maybe the things in your apartment that you love, or your cat, or the fact that you could take a nice vacation, or for the beautiful flowers growing outside your window. That we do have so much to be grateful for. Even though there's opposition against women's rights these days, we can at least worship freely whatever our religion is. That we have lots of things to be grateful for in this country. So, with that being said, I want to thank you for being a loyal listener, and I hope you'll tell your friends about the show. I hope you'll consider sending in a donation to the show to pay for it, to keep it on the air, or take advantage of the special offer I have on my books, both books for $25, and I'm happy to mail them to you and sign the books to you or someone special who you think might enjoy them. All right, so I am going to close the show tonight with the Sekhmet mix, as I promised you. The great goddess Sekhmet, she, the lady of tenacity manifested, she who teaches women to have sacred boundaries, to say no without guilt, who teaches us that we are strong and powerful and passionate and we can achieve anything. Thank you, Great Mother. Thank you for the gifts that you bestow upon us all. So, in closing, I hope you enjoy the final music of the show, the Sekhmet Mix by Zingaya. Good night. See you next week.
Desert, heart, fire.